Move over, boys. It's time for She's on the Mic with Bethany Bowman on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome into She's on the Mic tonight on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Bethany Bowman, and joined here in studio by KSHB 41's Mackenzie Nelson, one of my favorite guests to have on the show.
Ooh.
It's been a while. I'm glad to have you back, Mackenzie. Thanks so much.
I'm so happy to be back. Feels like I haven't seen you in forever, so this is exciting.
Yeah, and there's a lot to talk about. You know, I get an hour of radio a week. I always say I'm not sure how the guys, you know, Jason Anderson, Nate Bucati, Stephen St. John, Seren Petro, Curtis Siebel, how do they talk 4 hours a day?
They can talk.
On the radio.
They can talk, man. We love having them on Sunday Sound Off because they can talk for so long.
I'm not sure how they do it. I've been
it's
here since August. I'm trying to learn, but my 1 hour a week is enough for me right now. But, you know, I don't really have, like, the weekly guests that they do and stuff. So every week I'm like, yeah, what am I going to talk about? And this week we're going to talk about a lot. It's going to be kind of getting everybody just caught up on what's going on.
Well, when you only have an hour, you have to fit so much in.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're going to do that. We're going to talk a little March Madness recap.
Okay.
UConn just took the national championship on the men's side. And, of course, South Carolina on the women's. So we'll talk that. KU basketball, K-State basketball, where do they go from here after, you know, their seasons? We'll talk some football for both of those programs as well. And we'll even add in Mizzou because they had quite the great season. I know all those teams now in their spring ball and kind of getting ready for this next year. We'll talk some Royals, who are off to a great start.
Man, are they not insane to watch? They're exciting.
They're amazing. World Series? No, they're not going to win the World Series.
Slow your roll.
But so much improvement. We'll talk about that, as well as the Chiefs with a lot of offseason moves I'm excited about. And what else we got? We got Sporting Kansas City and KC Current.
They've got Sporting Kansas City with a huge match this weekend. It's exciting.
Messi coming to town.
Oh, man. Everybody's excited for that one.
So it's a full show, and I'm excited to have you here to join me for it. It's going to be great. Let's just get right into it.
Perfect.
So March Madness recap. The UConn Huskies taking the title. They repeat after winning last year's title and take down Purdue. What did you think about the championship game?
You know, I really thought Purdue was going to win it, but
really?
I'm excited for UConn. I mean, that's tough to do, to win back-to-back, so I'm impressed by them. I think that's great for them as a team, but I really just thought Purdue had the momentum. It was just kind of like maybe their season, but hey, UConn showed out. I mean, it was a good game. I've watched all the March Madness games, and I've been placing some sports bets on those, too, and I really had Purdue winning it, but it's okay. I had UConn, I think, losing in the Sweet 16, so I really was off.
So my bracket, I was going to ask about your bracket. I didn't feel like I was doing that great, and overall, I don't really think that I did, but in, like, my family bracket that I had, it came down to the championship game. UConn just had to lose. I had Houston winning it.
I had Houston winning it all, too.
After Jamal Shedd went down, that was unfortunate. You know, the other person that was, you know, competing with me and was up there, they had UConn winning it, so I needed them to lose. And they didn't, but that's okay because the Huskies had a great season.
They did.
In about the Sweet 16 and Elite 8, that's when I started being like, wow, like, it's going to be really hard to beat this team.
Yeah, they really did look good there. And I feel, you know, bad for saying, hey, I think they were going to lose. But I just thought, like, it just didn't feel like they were going to go all the way. But as I watched them more and more each round, I'm like, okay, this team is so versatile. They just really can do it all. They're hard to stop. And they were. Nobody could really stop them. So props to them.
Was down in Phoenix for the Final Four Radio Row with Jason Anderson this week.
Fun.
And we had a lot of great coaches come through and talk. But, you know, if you're still coaching, you aren't able to come to Radio Row and, you know, you don't have that time. I was so excited, though. I was sitting at a little Mexican restaurant right across from the Phoenix Convention Center called Blanco. Great place if you're ever down in Phoenix. It was amazing. Great spicy margaritas.
Oh,
I love a spicy margarita.
So good.
And I you can't make it spicy enough. I'm like, can you make it extra spicy? Oh, okay. I love it.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't do too much spice, but I have had a pineapple jalapeno margarita.
That's what it was.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I can do those because it's like a little bit of sweet with a little bit of spice, but once you do like just the straight jalapeno margaritas and they're super spicy, I can't do it.
Oh.
Can't
no,
do it.
I'll
leave those to you.
They have the best, and I'm sitting there and I'm enjoying one, and I see UConn men's basketball walking down the street because all the teams were staying in hotels right around
there.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm like, oh, cool. Like, there's the guys, but I was like, oh, I gotta see Coach Hurley. Like, I was excited to meet Dan Hurley, and he stopped and he took a picture. So nice.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and then a few of the waitresses came over. I'm not sure they really knew who Dan Hurley was, but they saw me doing it and they got their picture. So I'm sure they're glad now to have a picture with back-to-back national champion coach Dan Hurley.
Why is this girl taking a photo with him? Like, okay, maybe we should just do it too. Maybe you know they probably had no idea what's going on. Yeah, but they saw you.
And I hate doing that because working in this industry, I meet so many cool coaches and stuff. But when you're just out and about, like, I just felt like such a fan. Like, I was like, Coach Hurley, can I get a picture with you?
Yeah.
You
know? I think there's a time and a place. And I think that's awesome. Like, you got to chat with him, get a photo. Like, I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
And I think that's so cool that he's such a personable dude.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. He was great. Cool. Obviously, you know, I think a few people a little bit maybe offended. He was excited to win the national championship and acted a little bit on top of the world, but he should. Like, you know, back to back, like, people
That's
talk
tough.
About UConn, are they a blue blood? I think they are. I think they, I mean, they've won what, six now since 1999?
God, I'd have to look it up, but
I mean, come on.
I would have the argument of they are.
I think they are too.
I think they could be. I think they probably are, and I think we could debate that all day, but in my book, I would say they are. They're just too good of a team consistently to not be. But I know everybody's like, oh, well, certain things make up a blue blood program and blah, 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 blah. But if we really want to like dive into it, we could probably say that UConn has so many different things that, you know, you'd have to consider them a blue blood team.
I think a lot of people, it has to go back a little further for them.
Yeah.
But, you know, in my mind, like,
yeah, and in recent history for that team, I think you would have to say that they are.
What more would UConn need to do? Like, I mean, if that's the argument, then are we just done letting blue bloods in? Like, there's no more in the blue blood club?
You're not in the club. You can't be. No entry.
Yeah, so
I'm with you.
That's an amazing program. They're doing great. I know he was in the conversation, you know, just rumors for that Kentucky job. He said, I'm not going anywhere.
Yep.
And you know, Jerome Tang also was in that conversation to go to Arkansas, to the SEC.
K-State had a weird week, but it all ended positively for them.
he's staying at Kansas State. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I know there's still talk, people saying like, okay, Scott Drew's going to leave Baylor, Tang's going to go to Baylor. I just don't think it's going to happen. Obviously, Tang is staying at K-State. I think that's huge. They needed him to stay for this program. And I don't think he wanted to leave. You know, there was a lot of talk after some of the issues that, you know, this team had early on in the season. And I just didn't see it. Like, while I think he would be a good fit for that job at Arkansas, I just didn't expect him to be going anywhere. And I think that's a big win for K-State to keep him, obviously.
Like,
they've got to have him leading that program because he's really started to turn things around there. And you just can't lose that. Like, his personality, the way he treats his players, the way he coaches them, guides them as a mentor, all these things. Like, he's just such a good fit in Manhattan that it would have been a really big loss to see him go.
Absolutely. I'm so glad that they're keeping him because with the Naquan Tomlin situation, you know, I heard an interesting take this week. I actually think it was from Jason Anderson. Maybe I overheard him on one of his interviews down at Radio Row. You think about losing Naquan Tomlin and, you know, obviously a big blow for the Wildcats. But had he known a few months prior to, you know, that all this was going to unfold, you can go and get another guy in the transfer portal. So I didn't really think of it that way as far as not only did you lose him, but you lost out on the opportunity to have another player coming
in
the program.
Right, to go replace him. Absolutely.
So I wouldn't blame Coach Tang for being a little upset. And I know a lot of people have kind of, and it's been kept pretty under wraps, and Tang is such a high character guy that he doesn't go publicly and say a lot of negative things.
Yeah.
And I respect him for that. You know, we had Tyler Perry come through Radio Row. He was going to play in the Reese's All-Star game mm-hmm. down in Phoenix, and he had nothing but great things to say about Coach Tang and just his character and, you know, dealing with that whole situation and keeping the guys mm-hmm. still together when a team could have fallen so much apart during that. I know they didn't have the season that they wanted to and envisioned, but I mean, that's a hard thing to get through, losing a guy like that.
Yeah, you got to have Tang there to kind of steady the ship, because it was just some rough waters there at the beginning. The whole situation, like, surrounding Naquan Tomlin and his departure from K-State was interesting, questionable, debatable, all these things. A lot of people thought, you know, someone overstepped Tang, and that, you know, he had had it handled by sitting Naquan and saying, hey, you're not playing until I decide you're, you know, able mm-hmm. to return to this team and show him that he deserved to be back with this team. So it was almost like, okay, we thought Tang had everything under wraps and was good, and then that was not the case. You know, then you had the president coming in and saying he's no longer with the team and he's no longer at this university, mm-hmm. which kind of was a shock to everybody, and I think Jerome Tang was shocked by it too. And so that caused a lot of tension. And then, like you said, you just got to have him to kind of steady that ship. And the team didn't perform the way they wanted to. But when you can't replace that guy who was going to be a big part of that team and leading that team, it's tough. So not a great season. I do think that they can get things turned around. You've had a lot of guys leaving and entering the transfer portal, but Tang is also signing people. Oh, so yeah. I think it'll be a different season for them next year. And I think he's really working hard this offseason to get a team back to where he thinks they should be in the Big 12.
Tyler Perry also, you know, I went around and asked some of the guys who they think was going to win the national championship for a little social media video. And, you know, I said, Tyler, is it okay? Can you give me your pick? You know, I know you wanted to be in the tournament, right. But he was like, oh, man, you know, we let K-State Nation down. Like, you could feel, you know, you could tell just how he carried himself. Like, he didn't like how the season went, and like, he feels bad about it. So, I just hope people give K-State a chance. That, you know, that wasn't the norm. I know they have a lot higher expectations mm-hmm. and want to do better. So I know that Tang's going to turn it around. It's going to be a different outcome here soon. They did sign guard Doug McDaniel, a transfer from Michigan.
Huge.
So there's a big one already. Like you said, Tang's going out. He's going to work hard, get more guys mm-hmm. out of the portal, sign some more high-quality high school signees. It's going to be good.
Well, it was funny because he made that signing, and then it was, what, like a day or two later that people were like, oh, Tang's going to Arkansas. He's the leader in this, you know, job opportunity. And it's like, I don't think he's going anywhere, because he's out there, like, actively you know, mm-hmm. signing guys, bringing them to K-State. I don't think he would be doing that if he was like, okay, yeah, I'm going to leave. Yeah. And I don't think these guys would have said, hey, I'm coming to K-State, because I think they want to play for Tang.
Absolutely.
So I just don't think that whole situation was interesting.
For sure. And too, you know, just working in an athletic department, you know, I can tell you that as much as the president and the AD and all the coaches need to work together and need to be very cohesive, it is not always that way. You know, mm-hmm. each department has their, you know, feelings and their needs and wants for what they're doing. And, you know, sometimes there's just like anything, there's bumps in the road, there's rifts. And, you know, I don't know too much about the situation and exactly how it unfolded, but I know Gene Taylor is a great AD and Coach Tang a great coach. You know, I think they'll definitely use this as a learning experience and hopefully can get things a little more smooth sailing in a situation like this in the future.
Yeah, I really like Gene Taylor. I mean, you said it. He's great. One of the best ADs in the country. So I think K-State's going to be okay. Just give them some time. They just need some time to get things back to where they would like their programs to be.
KU, an exit this year at the hands of Gonzaga. It was a great
tough
first half. You know, we knew Gonzaga could shoot, and I think in the second half, really, it just came down to KU kind of running out of gas. You know, they were depleted, no Kevin McCullough Jr. It was tough to watch. It was tough to see that.
It was weird because I felt like throughout the season you saw that. You'd see, like, you know, KU struggling in the first half, and then they'd really come out strong and turn it around the second half. It was never a full, like, complete game played by that program this season, which is tough because they had so many great pieces, and it was like they just were never cohesive like you would normally see a KU mm-hmm. team. All the pieces in the world and so many great players on that roster, it just didn't feel like they were ever able to put a full game together. And mm-hmm. and it sucks because, you know, they really could go far. And I said this early on, I'm like, KU is that team that could beat anybody if they were playing their game, but they're also the team that could lose to anybody because you just never know if they're going to play their game.
Mm-hmm.
And that Gonzaga game, it was like, okay, this first half is amazing. Like, they are really coming out. They're gonna do this. Because a lot of people kind of wrote them off. They're like, oh, Gonzaga's going to come in here and beat them. Like, KU has no chance. And that first half, you're like, this is awesome. Like, they can pull this out. And just really lost the gas, lost the energy, maybe. I don't know. It was like stupid turnovers, things like that. Just really throwing them off. Just not playing their game in a completely different second half than what we had seen in the first, which is weird. I don't know what happened at halftime. I don't know what Bill Self said, but something happened, and they really needed Kevin McCullough for that NCAA tournament run. So that was a big blow to that team, for sure.
With the NBA draft coming up, I know Furphy is a talk. I know we talked after the Big 12 loss to Cincinnati. Furphy scored 2 points, and I don't want to go just off that game, but I just don't know if Furphy's ready. But, you know, the projections, I know they're slipping a little bit. I think he was a little bit higher earlier on. But, I mean, if you're even projected to get drafted, like, I don't think you turn that down. Like, I get it, you know, if there's scouts and they know 10 times more than I do, if they see something in you and think that you're a draft pick, like, you take it, right?
Yeah, I would think so. Everybody's gonna have different reasons as to why they maybe stay another year in college or why they go ahead and enter the draft. I think obviously if he chooses to go NBA draft route, even if he is just kind of working his way up from the G League, he's gonna learn, he's gonna grow, he's going to learn what it takes to be in the NBA because he's young. So I think either way, like, if he goes back to KU, playing under Bill Self is amazing. Like, that's a great coach, Hall of Fame coach. You're going to learn so much, and he's going to prepare you for that next opportunity and the NBA, because he's had so many NBA players come through this KU team. But I don't know. I think either way, either pick is good. I can't say what I think he's going to do or what he should do, because I think either decision is going to benefit him either way it goes. Mm-hmm. So,
Hunter Dickinson, have you heard anything about?
No.
It's been pretty quiet. I don't know if he's.
He
has another year.
Yeah. So I think I expect him to leave. I know it hasn't been said. I know he hasn't publicly said this is what I'm doing, but I don't look for him to come back to KU for another year. I think he'll enter the NBA draft and just start his career there.
But now you can enter the draft and come back, right?
Once you declare for the draft, you can, like, change your mind and go back to college?
Yeah, they changed that, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I think they did.
I'd have to look that up. I don't know that off the top of my head, but I think that...
Let's look that up.
If we're just talking, like, Hunter Dickinson deciding to come back to KU or deciding to go to the NBA, I think he's just going to move on, unfortunately.
Players can now go all the way through the NBA draft process. This means they can participate in draft day, and if they aren't taken by a team in the draft, they're able to return to college. That's cool.
I mean, look for him to do that, too.
Yeah.
I look for those KU guys that are questionable to return. I look for them to do that.
Well,
I mean,
why
they're
wouldn't
gonna,
you?
Exactly.
You know, now there's nothing to lose. Like, it used to be if you declared, like, you're screwed.
Yeah, you can't come back.
Yeah. So.
Then I would say I look for all those guys to say, hey, you know, I'm entering the draft. But then again, it's that, like, if you don't get picked or you don't like where you're picked and then you return to college, it's kind of like, like, it's a bad, I don't know. It's kind of a bad look, but I don't know.
It's
but
like,
then you want
like
every opportunity.
I'm here because something else didn't work out, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. It'll be interesting. I'm excited for the draft. I'm excited for the WNBA draft as well. I think that's going to be fun to watch because I just feel like the women's games, the women's tournament was just way more exciting than the men's this season, and I love that.
Yeah, it was awesome. We had on the Border Patrol this week, Stephen and Nate talking about that question, can you be a GOAT without winning a championship? So, you know, like Caitlin Clark, can she be considered one of the greatest of all time because she didn't win a championship? Absolutely she can.
Yes. When you're breaking records the way she's breaking records, I mean, she broke Steph Curry's 3-point record and got, like, come on. Like, that dude is the greatest shooter of all time in the NBA. Like, yes, she is the greatest shooter of all time in college basketball right now. She's reached so many different milestones. She's such a great player. I wish that Iowa could have got it done because I think people are going to have that conversation. Like, you have to have championships, but also, what if she goes and wins multiple WNBA championships with that team? Like, does that change the conversation? Like, does she have to win a national title?
I think people that are on the opposing side of that argument, oh, you can't be one of the greatest of all time without a championship, They're silly gooses.
Yeah.
That's silly. I mean, that's just silly.
Yeah.
I don't want to say stupid. I don't want to be that mean. I don't want to call you stupid.
Yeah.
But that's silly.
It is. I don't think you have to win a national title in college to go on and be one of the greatest players of all time. I really don't. I think your accomplishments, your different achievements that you had in college will play a factor. But then when you go on and play professionally, I mean, that's what we care about. I mean, we're talking about, like, greatest men's basketball players of all time. You're pretty much looking at, like, their NBA history. Mm-hmm. I don't think people are going back and looking at, oh, well, what'd they do in college?
Yeah.
I just don't think that's a thing. So Caitlin Clark is going to go on and be super successful. I think she's going to be obviously the first pick in the draft. I'm excited to watch that. And she is going to continue to change the game and bring viewers to this game, get people excited about women's sports, women's basketball. And not even just her. I mean, you got to give credit to some of those other women out there that were playing. And,
Paige Beckers, Angel
my
Reese,
gosh,
Cameron
yes.
Brink.
Like, just,
I mean,
the superstars.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Flauge Johnson. Just all these big names that were in this tournament this season. Like, all these women changed the game.
Absolutely.
And I just think it's a great thing to see. And nothing but positive things to come out of this women's tournament this season.
And here's a player that is returning to college that, you know, already was amazing and a huge name in college basketball, but especially now with, you know, Caitlin Clark exiting, she could be the face of college basketball next season. Ayoka Lee returning to Kansas State.
That is huge. That is huge news. After, you know, their early exit at Bramlage out of the tournament, losing to Colorado, she was asked that. Like, we asked her that in the locker room. I was there. And she's like, I don't know. I'm like, I'm not ready to, you know, talk about that.
Yeah.
But I think because last season, you know, she didn't get to play because of her injury, she came back this season. I expected her to return, but there was also a part of me that was like, you know, she could go play at any university that she wants to. She could enter the transfer portal and go play at LSU, go play at some of these top schools, UConn. I mean, so I was a little bit shocked, I guess. Like, there was a small part of me that was shocked that she's returning to K-State. But I'm excited because I think K-State can use her to lead that team to go much farther than they did this season. And that's always been a goal, like, with her on the team. I wish that K-State would have gone much farther this time around, but it just didn't work out. They just didn't have it against Colorado. But big, big for K-State. Like, you get Jerome Tang, he's staying. You get Ayoka Lee coming back for another season all in 1 week. I mean, I guess it's a great week to be a K-State fan, huh?
Absolutely. You talked about maybe Ayoka going into the transfer portal. You look at someone like Haley Van Lith, though, leaving Louisville this week. Actually, Jason Anderson and I spent, like I said, a lot of time together. He used to be in Louisville. I had a whole, you know, pronunciation lesson from him. Louisville.
Louisville?
Yeah.
Wait, say it again.
Louisville.
Louisville.
Like,
wait,
I used to say Louisville.
Where's Jason? I need to ask him.
He's on the show right now.
I would say Louisville.
Yeah,
Louisville.
Louisville. Okay. Anyways, Haley leaving Louisville, going to LSU, I don't think that was a good move for her. You know, I mean, Ayoka Lee's got something great going at K-State. I think she legitimately thinks, like, she can win a championship at K-State. Yes, they had their setback against Colorado. But, you know, they just take care of business that game. It was an off game for them. I get that. They're right back in it there with Iowa, who they had beat once already in the season. They split with them in the season. It was going to be their third time playing. I mean, they could have, you know, I think they're very capable of making a run.
Yeah, and you've got a lot of girls coming back. I mean, Gabby Gregory, obviously, she will not be returning. But Serena's coming back as well. You have girls that are going to be able to help lead the team. Ayoka Lee is a huge piece of that. No Gabby Gregory, but she played a tremendous role for K-State this season. And I'm sad that she couldn't get a championship before she left, but man, she was just huge for that team, and they were great this season. Just the camaraderie around that team, you just had to love them. Like, if you were around them and, you know, were at their press conferences, practices, they just really, really were a tight-knit group. But I think with so many people returning next season, I think they'll be okay. And Jeff Mitty will, you know, go back to the drawing board and get some things figured out and figure out, like, what's going to work for his team this season. Because I think there were just some things, like, especially in that Colorado game, that just didn't really make sense. Like, some of the play calls, I felt like they kept trying to feed Ayoka Lee down low, but she had, like, three people guarding her. So why are we not getting to the, you know, the open player? Like, throw the ball. There's someone open, you know, or the shot choices, just things like that. They just got to settle in. I think now that some of these girls are going to be older, more experienced, that's going to help a lot.
Absolutely. Before we go, we got a break coming up here, but can't overlook the season that KU women had. They got back to the big dance, and after winning the NIT last year, women's NIT, Brandon Schneider, awesome job, and it was a lot of fun to watch these girls this season.
It was. I was excited about that team, too, especially freshman Samaya Nichols. She's so great, so amazing to watch, but they had a great run. I mean, I was excited about them. They were a great seed, great opportunity for them coming back from, you know, not making the tournament last season, but winning the NIT. They deserved, I think, to be in the tournament last season, but didn't get in. And then this season to be, you know, top 10 seed, to go out there and do what they were able to do is just awesome. I think only good things are to come with that team. And freshman Samaya Nichols is going to be one of the great leaders on that team, I think, as she, you know, goes into her sophomore season.
Absolutely. She did not look like a freshman.
No, she did not.
Oh my gosh.
Right?
Like, it was so fun to watch, too, throughout the year. She was already great coming in and, you know, the first half. But that second half, she's like, wow, you know, like, this
Take
is my
over.
Team.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to do what I can do. It was a lot of
fun.
She
played with confidence like she had been there before.
Absolutely.
And props to her. And she had some great leaders on that team to, I think, help guide her. But, man, like, she's going to be a star. She already is a star. Like, I'm excited to continue watching her throughout her, you know, college years.
Mackenzie Nelson is our guest of KSHB 41. We'll take a quick break here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. When we get back, we'll talk Chiefs, Royals, Sporting, KC Current.
So much
going on here in Kansas City. We'll be right back.
You're tuned in to She's on the Mic with Bethany Bowman on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Thanks for joining us here again on Sports Radio 810 WHB. You're listening to She's on the Mic. Your host, Bethany Bowman here, as well as Mackenzie Nelson from KSHB 41. Mackenzie, thank you for joining us once again. We just talked a lot about March Madness and KU basketball, K-State basketball, men and women. A lot of fun. Let's get on now to the baseball team here in Kansas City.
That baseball team.
The Kansas City Royals. Last year, they were the baseball team. This year, they're the Kansas City Royals.
They're doing great. What a great time for them. I mean, this is amazing.
7-4 currently, 7-21 last season. To get to 7 wins last year, it took 28 games. This year, 11 games.
And 5 wins in a row now after last night's walk-off. Like, who is this team?
Go Salvi. Salvi with the big walk-off last night. That was fun. Cole Reagan's 5 innings pitched with 3 runs. They won 4-3. The bullpen, who has actually gotten some heat this year for not closing out a couple games, they were lights out. They pitched 5 shutout innings.
The pitching's been really good, and I think that's been like the topic of this Royals team, because last year, not so good. You know, a lot of questions, a lot of, you know, struggles when it came to pitching, but man, are they pitching lights out? I think Cole Reagan's had 5 strikeouts last night, which is a little less than like what he's, you know, usually doing out there on the mound, but still great. I mean, they were able to get the win, and I think they're just like a very exciting team to watch this season. I think people are excited about this team again. And I even like you were there yesterday when we asked Coach Q, you know, what's his excitement level? Because he's very monotone guy, very like chill, relaxed. And you can tell he's even like excited about what the Royals are able to do this season. And, I'm excited to see where they go from here. They're on a roll. They're playing great. They're an exciting team to watch. The pitching's great. A walk-off win last night. It doesn't get better than this right now. I mean, they're just playing lights out, and it's very exciting. I'm expecting them to continue this up the rest of the season.
Absolutely.
I know you said World Series, but I'm not going to say that.
Yeah, no, that was a joke. I'm sorry. I don't want to be that person that a little bit of success.
The expectations are
like,
so high.
I'm not doing that. But, I mean, hey, they're... I saw a thing, you know, are the Royals going to be in playoff contention? I mean, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I truly expect this team to be in the playoffs come the end of, near the end of the year.
It's crazy that, you know, that 4-game sweep that they just won was the first 4-game sweep in 3 years. And this is the first time they've had a winning season in 2 years. Like, let that sink in, you know, like they had some serious struggles. They were not, you know, no offense, an enjoyable team to watch. People didn't want to go out and catch the games because, you know, you want to take your kids out there, too. It's expensive. The team wasn't winning. They weren't, you know, that great to watch. Now it's the complete opposite. You want to go out there. You want to see their games. You want to pay attention to what they're doing. And I love that for the city and, you know, for all the fans.
Wanted to real quick mention this because it's really cool to see someone you know and someone you've kind of seen move up the ladder. It's not for the Royals, but, you know, the Royals are taking on the Astros tonight. And a good friend of mine, my my boyfriend's former teammate, will be starting for the Houston Astros.
Wow.
Spencer Arrighetti is his name. He is the Astros' top pitching prospect, and he got the call-up. So
that is amazing.
I'm excited to see how the Royals lineup does tonight against Spencer.
How fun is that?
Yeah,
are you going to go to the game?
Yeah, I am. I've got an awards thing tonight, actually, to attend to, but then going to hightail it to
Jet
Kaufman
to game,
really
yeah.
quick to see him. And
how fun.
His girlfriend's coming up. You know, I've always wondered kind of how that's like. You know, you get the news of making your MLB debut. Like, you know, I'm sure she just had to book a flight.
Yeah, you're like,
hey,
family, get here.
Yeah,
hurry
no,
up.
I know he said he's got, you know, like 25 already on the list.
Wow.
Coming up here. So I'm so excited for him. But that's going to be fun. And pitching tonight for the Royals, is it? Oh, it'll be actually right-hander Seth Lugo on the mound tonight for the Royals, taking on the Astros starter and MLB debut, Spencer Arrighetti. So, yeah, Lugo at .71 ERA. The leader on the team, Brady Singer, at .68.
Wow.
You have a little bit more about Lugo right there, don't you?
Yeah, so this is going to be his third start so far this season. So far, he's pitched 12.2 innings. He's got 7 strikeouts. But just the overall pitching for the Royals is exciting. So I'm excited to see him again. This is going to be fun.
Absolutely.
The Royals are fun. They're just fun to talk about, fun to watch.
And, you know, I was in the locker room yesterday, not a lot going on pregame, but just a different vibe, 100%
you can
on
tell.
This team. Like, you know, they're not, and the thing is, they're going to go through a stretch where they might lose 5 games. You know, they're winning, they're on a 5-game win streak right now, but I just don't want people to get discouraged if that happens, because that is baseball.
Absolutely.
Baseball is so weird.
There's so many games.
I've watched a lot of minor league baseball, you know. It's not always the best team on paper. It's, you know, and one, it's so weird. It's the only sport where I feel like one night you can win 10-0 and the next night you can lose 10-0. Because when things spiral out of control, when a pitcher has an off night, like those things just happen in baseball. So, I mean, it's all, we've already seen so much improvement. And, you know, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself because it's just now, what, the 12th game tonight. But, I mean, just a lot of better vibes.
You know what's funny is, you know, we used to do this with the Chiefs, like you could never count them out of a game. And I feel, obviously, it's early in the season, but I felt like so far you really just can't count the Royals out of a game. And that's really exciting. Even last night's game, for example, like to come back and win the way they did, you just can never leave the game early because you never know when things are going to turn around. And at the beginning of the game, I think it was like until like the fourth inning or so, fifth inning, like things were kind of, you know, but then they really turned it around. They got the bats going and it was exciting. So you just can't turn them off right now. You can't stop watching. You got to pay attention to them because they can always come back and win. So
and,
I love that.
You know, someone asked Matt Quatrero, playing a team like the Astros, like how does that, you know, elevate your level of play? And he said, these are, I mean, every night it's a major league team. Like you can't, you know, you can't count anybody out. You can't overlook anybody. But it is nice to see the Royals, despite the Astros' struggles early this season, get a win over a team like that. I feel like that's a team last year that, you know, you're like, oh, we're going to lose 3 games this week. Like now I'm like, we could sweep this team. I mean, it's amazing. It's so much fun right now to
watch.
Was,
I think it was after you left, there were some boos, you know, some boos. Royals fans booing Jose Altuve when he took
poor Jose.
Yeah, when he came to the plate.
He is a very nice guy. He had a couple rehab assignments last year on my boyfriend's team.
Okay.
And, you know, he is small. He is very, very small. I know that, I'm sorry, Altuve. Yeah, he's not listening to this.
He's not listening.
Who am I kidding? But just tiny human being.
Wow.
But, so great.
I just looked him up, and if anybody wants this information, he's 33 years old. His birthday is May 6th. That is also my birthday.
Oh, wow. You share a birthday with Jose Altuve.
I share a birthday with him. I don't know what that means, but just don't boo me.
Yeah, no, I get it. I get the boos. I mean,
I do too. It's just funny.
They cheated. They did. But, I mean, let's move on. Like, you know, and a lot of other teams were doing that
sure.
as well.
Yeah.
But the Astros were kind of the sacrificial lamb in that situation. So let's move on.
Yeah.
It's done and over. But no, it's going to be fun. I'm excited to see the Royals. They're just competing. They're competing.
Yeah.
These guys are going out there every day with all they've got. Mm-hmm. It's fun.
It is fun. I'm looking forward to the rest of the season for sure.
across the parking lot at Arrowhead Stadium. We've got a lot going on there, actually. Let's start off with, before we get into the Chiefs, we've got a soccer match coming to Arrowhead.
So cool.
Messi.
So cool. I'm so excited. I'm going to be there covering that match. And, I mean, just what a cool thing.
Me too.
It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be sold out. Everybody's excited. This is something that hasn't been done in so long. Like, I just am really looking forward to it. And I think it's just going to be an overall great night out there. And I know we still don't know if Messi is playing, if he is coming here. I think that's...
He better be.
Right? And that's the thing.
We move stadiums for this guy.
People spent thousands of dollars on tickets for this game, but there's no guarantee that he actually plays. The only positive thing is that he was out several weeks with an injury, but has since returned. So he's likely to play, but he's also the best soccer player in the world, making the most money, and could say, yeah, I don't really feel like playing. I need to rest this game, and just decide not to come. And you don't question that. You're like, okay, well, you're the greatest soccer player in the world. You can do whatever you want. So I don't know, but I'm hopeful that he comes, because that's what everybody wants to see. Obviously, we care about Sporting Kansas City. We want them to do well, and they're an exciting team this season. They've had some issues. You know, last week they were up 3-0, and then it was
tough.
A 3-3 draw.
That's tough.
That was rough. Rough second half for them. But excited to watch them, and Messi just makes it, you know, all the much more exciting.
Yeah, and they know, too, the magnitude of
absolutely.
This and what it does for the city, mm-hmm. and what it does for their club. You know, they tweeted a goat.
From our station. That story came from us.
Oh, man. And I was like, you know, that's obviously promoting another player that you're about to compete against. But, I mean, he's the GOAT. You can't deny it. Like, it's so cool that he's coming here to Kansas City.
KSHB 41, we're all over this GOAT story. If you have not been following, you can go read it on our website, okay? And then Sporting Kansas City retweeting us, calling the GOAT Messi, saying they didn't even know he was in town already. And that was just great social media.
That was great social media.
That was
props
awesome.
Props to the SKC social team.
Yeah, so. Good job, guys.
let's move on to the KC Current. We don't want to leave them out. 3-0 on the season. You know, obviously so much excitement with their new stadium and playing in the first all-women stadium. It was
so
awesome.
Cool.
But they're winning. That's awesome.
Yeah. And I think that's so cool, because last season it wasn't their best. You know, they struggled. Mm-hmm. But they also, you know, had lost their coach. They had an interim coach. And, you know, now I think things are steady over there. You got Vladko leading it. And just an all-around fun team to watch. And then when you add the things like the stadium, the first, you know, purpose-built stadium for women, like, that's huge. And then when the team is actually fun to watch and they're being they're having a lot of success, like, makes it even more, you know, exciting. And that home opener was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I think fans are enjoying it. They love the stadium, they love this team, and, you know, it's only gonna go up from here for that team.
But once Messi leaves Arrowhead, we're going to get excited now again about football. The front office is
another
busy.
Another goat will be back in Arrowhead.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes will take his field back. Two goats. The Chiefs making some great moves. You know, there hasn't really been one that I feel like was like, oh, wow. Like, you know, mm-hmm. there's so much talk about Justin Jefferson, mm-hmm. or, you know, a player like that. And that would be like, whoa. But we can't really afford that, you know.
Yeah.
We couldn't go do that. But I like the signings and the transactions they've made. I mean, Matt Araiza, you know, replacing Tommy Townsend. I like that move. I could talk about this for a while.
It's not bad. I think everybody loved Tommy Townsend, but we knew we couldn't keep him.
Yeah, we can't keep him.
So I think that was a great signing to replace him.
And obviously he had kind of the extracurricular things surrounding his name, but he was cleared. And anytime there's a situation like that, obviously if there was more info to come out, then I could change my mind. I don't like to really speak on things when you truly don't know
the whole story.
Everything.
Sure.
You know, there's only really a few people that will ever know the whole truth, you know, in a situation like that, I feel. But he was cleared. And so I like to see guys that once they are, you know, out of that situation, get another chance, because I would hate for someone to ever have something falsely, you know, tied to their name, and then it ruin something that they work so hard for.
Right.
So I'm excited to see Matt get that opportunity with the Chiefs. And the Chiefs do so much due diligence. You know, they're going to look into it. They're going to make sure there's nothing they missed.
Yeah, because I think character is a big thing for this Chiefs team. And they're not going to bring somebody in that they haven't done their research on to make sure that they're going to fit in to the culture. So, yeah, I'm excited. I trust in the Chiefs.
I do, too. Irv Smith Jr., new tight end.
Yeah, coming in, especially after the Chiefs don't have Jody Fortson anymore. I know he was injured all last season, but he was working on his recovery, and now he is in Miami back with former teammate Tyreek Hill.
Yeah. Hollywood Brown, you know, I said earlier there wasn't like a signing that we were like, oh, my gosh, but Hollywood Brown is a great addition to
Absolutely.
The wide receiver group.
I think that's going to be a great thing. And he's already been, you know, photographed and we've seen the videos of him already, you know, playing catch with Patrick Mahomes down in Texas. So obviously he'll come in to training camp, OTAs, all that stuff, ready, having already worked with Mahomes to kind of, you know, figure out what Mahomes likes and stuff. So I always think that's a great idea when Mahomes would have those guys come down to Texas and they'd work out and stuff. I think nothing but positive things come out of that. But I'm excited. I think that's a great signing. And I think he's going to fit really well into this system.
I'm excited to talk about this next one. Luis Rhys-Zamet. You just did a story on this guy. There was, for me, when I first heard this, my initial thoughts are, oh my gosh, like, the Chiefs are so good that they're going out and experimenting with Welsh rugby players. Like, that's hilarious.
It is so cool. I did a story with the St. Thomas Aquinas rugby team. Shout out to the Saints. Just a cool thing. Like, you know, it's interesting because Zamet, or Rhys-Zamet, is a huge deal over there. And they're so excited to have him come over and play in the NFL. Like, fans over there are so pumped, like rugby fans. And now you've got rugby fans here that are like, wow, this is so cool to see him make this transition into the NFL because he's never, you know, really played football before. Yeah. Well, what was interesting was when I was over there talking with, you know, the high school team, I asked him, I said, okay, what is more difficult? Is it tougher to go from playing football and then playing rugby, or having that rugby background and then going and playing football? And they said that he's doing it, you know, what would be the best way, because you go, you play rugby, and I guess there's just things about that sport that transition very easily into playing football, where if you've played football all your life, then you kind of transition to rugby. It's a little bit tougher to kind of pick up the sport.
Yeah.
So they said that he's going to fit in really well and that he's been working really hard, and to see what he's been able to do on the rugby side of things, you know, they just said he's going to have this like smooth transition. So I trust them because I don't know much about rugby.
Me neither.
And so if they say he's going to be a great fit, then he's going to be a great fit. I did ask what position they think he's going to fill for the Chiefs, and they said he'll be like a kick returner, punt returner, something like that. I know there was talk of like, oh, he's going to be a running back.
That
for some reason,
slot,
they said he's not. They were like, in rugby, you're used to like running into open space. Like, that's you're trying to find the open space, where like if you're running back, you're running through these little gaps and you're getting hit. And they said that they don't think he's going to be a running back. He'd be a receiver or a returner. So I thought that was cool.
That's awesome. He's big and he's jacked and he's fast. I'm excited. I mean, that's just the Chiefs doing what they do, going out, you know, finding a diamond in the rough. Like, that's amazing. I love to see that kind of sign. Last, Carson Wentz. Oh my gosh. I have been the biggest. Oh, there's Mick Schaefer. Once again, Mick finds a way to get a shout out on the show.
Somehow, some way.
He always does that.
He's always around.
Carson Wentz. I have been so high on Carson Wentz. You know, when he didn't have a job, I was like, why are we not signing this guy? Not the Chiefs necessarily, but any team in the NFL.
I remember you were saying nothing but positive things about him.
I don't like to be that person that's like, you know, I told you so. But and it's not like he has a starting job. He's behind Patrick Mahomes. He's going to be in only dire situations.
Sure.
But I love this signing. I mean, and everything I've heard, he's a high character guy.
Yeah.
I think he's very skilled, and I don't think that he's washed. I'll just put that out there. I think this is a great, probably the best backup quarterback in the NFL.
I think it's going to be great. I think Carson Wentz, obviously, you know, we've seen how he plays, like his style of play. But then I think when you put him under Andy Reid and you have him join, you know, this Chiefs team, I think you're going to see a lot of improvement in him too. But also, like you said, like, he's a great backup to have. And
absolutely,
he would come in and, you know, certain situations. But I think he'll work really well in that quarterback room. And I really like it. I'm excited to see the competition that he brings. And I think it'll just be great all around for, you know, this offense and for this team as a whole.
We're running out of time, but I promised KU football and K-State football and Mizzou football. Always, what is it, under promise and over deliver. But, you know, I'm going to keep my word here. Let's go through them really quickly.
Okay, let's do it.
We don't know a lot yet. They're in
rapid
spring
fire.
Ball. I'm going to go out Friday to the KU Spring Showcase.
Okay.
I'm excited to see that. I do know they had a big addition to the team, Deshaun Hanukkah out of Topeka, Kansas, former Iowa State tight end. I believe he just suffered a torn Achilles. So,
oh, no, that's awful.
Will miss the 2024 season, it appears. Didn't like to see that. You know, thoughts to Deshaun during his recovery, but Lance Leipold is going to do something special.
Mm-hmm.
I you can feel it. It's been building in Lawrence. Mm-hmm. You know,
you've just seen the improvements
absolutely.
In that team year after year. Like, this is going to be an exciting season for them, especially after seeing all that they did last season.
Mm-hmm.
And with, you know, Jason Bean.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm excited to see what they can do this season. I think when you're out there Friday, that'll be, you know, just fun thing to see, but also to just kind of get a feel for the season. And I can't even believe we're saying that. Like, the spring games are happening. Like,
time is flying.
Like, we have not stopped talking about football. So I'm excited. I think they're going to be great. I think Leipold's, you know, great coach, right fit for them. And KU fans should be excited.
Absolutely. Jalen Daniels, hoping that he, during this downtime, I know we haven't heard much, but got his back situation
mm-hmm.
figured out and is getting healthy. Because he's one of the best quarterbacks in the nation when he is healthy. Moving on to K-State, Avery Johnson. I'm excited to see him continue to grow. And from what I'm hearing, he already has during this time just being with the team and the downtime they've gotten to work. Obviously, he had a great showing in their bowl game to end the year last year versus NC State. But I think it's just going to continue to go upward for Avery and the Cats.
Yeah, you know, he was kind of fighting for playing time with Will Howard there, but also getting to learn under Will Howard. I think Will Howard has a lot of great traits about him. He's a good quarterback.
Totally.
For Avery to be working with him and, you know, as a veteran player, I think that was great. So Avery getting, you know, his feet wet last season, getting to play in certain games, stuff like that, I think that's really going to benefit him as he, you know, takes the starting role this upcoming season. But I think K-State fans have a lot to be excited about, too, because it's just a new era in Manhattan under Avery Johnson. And then Coach Klieman, obviously a great coach. I just think K-State is only going to improve from here. Not that Will Howard didn't bring much to that team, because he did. Like, he brought a Big 12 championship, all these things. But Avery Johnson is just a new type of quarterback, and I think going to change the way they play out there in Manhattan.
Over in Columbia, Brady Cook is now done his time as a Tiger, and so we thought it was going to be Sam Horn, but he's also a baseball player. He tore his UCL this spring, and so he will not be ready to play
awful.
Football for the Tigers in the fall. I'm not exactly sure who they have next up in line. I'm going to need to see more about the Tigers, but if you know, let me know. Tweet me or X me, or what's the term now, now that Twitter is X?
I don't know.
What do you say?
What do you say? I keep saying tweet.
I know.
Shouldn't
is
say
it,
that.
I guess it's not tweet anymore, right? So let me know. Need to learn more about the Tigers, and
we
can get some press availability from Drinkwitz here soon. But, you know, they ended the year great, beating Ohio State. I know that.
They had a great season.
Bowl games are crazy because it's never the full team. Either way, you know, you got opt-outs and the teams look different, but that was a great win. So excited for another great year in Columbia.
Me too. I just think our local football teams, KU, K-State, Mizzou, they're all so exciting to watch. And whether, you know, you're a KU fan or a K-State or Mizzou, whatever, it's still fun to watch these other teams. I know there's rivalries and all that, but they're just such good teams, and it hasn't really been this way. We haven't had, like, great football and great basketball, and I know basketball a little bit of a struggle this season, but I think all three of these teams, football, basketball, every sport is going to be exciting because they have such great coaches, such great leadership. And so it's only up for all these teams. And I'm very excited for this football season.
Well, I hope tonight that got everybody caught up on just about everything.
Hope you were taking notes.
What did we miss? We had Sporting and The Current, and we had KU, K-State, men and women's basketball, and football. and some Mizzou football and Royals and Chiefs and
so much going on.
I think
we're 100 days out now from the Olympics too.
Oh wow.
Isn't that insane?
And you're wearing your Masters sweatshirt.
We have the Masters. It is Masters week. I am a golfer. I love golf. This is the best week. I'm so excited.
You're a golfer.
I am a golfer. I played golf in high school.
Oh, wow.
I was going to play in college, but ended up playing basketball. So this is like the best time of year for me. I love the Masters. I will be in front of my TV or my phone at all times. And I've got my money on Xander Schauffele this time around. I don't know who you guys are all picking. You can tweet at me. Let me know who you guys are picking to win the Masters. You mentioned, Bethany, that Tiger Woods is back. Yes, he is.
Tiger's back.
He said he still has one major left in him. He thinks he can do it. I know people are betting on him to win it. I think that's awesome. This is such a great time. I love the Masters. Masters week is amazing. I wish I was in Augusta, but just maybe one day.
And we didn't even get an NFL draft and WNBA draft.
There's so much going on.
So we're
going
to save that for next week.
Yes, absolutely.
Mackenzie, thank you so much. It's Mackenzie Nelson of KSHB 41 joining us here tonight on She's on the Mic Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thanks so much for listening. Spending your night here with us. Next up, some ESPN Sports Radio, and we'll see you next week.